are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe. Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But as I always say, if it ain't, you're going to get it done anyway. Because you know what? That's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we have respect for you. That's why we have love for you. That's why we support whatever you do, because you have tenacity. You have perseverance. You always get it done. You don't procrastinate. You get it done. Whatever. And we love you for it. Don't you wish we all like that? I bet. I don't. I know we wish we were all like that. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Or any other time around the world, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcasts. Click on that. And then once you click on that, African Perspectives will be right at the top. Click on that. And then there will be programs that are dated and titled. So check them out. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media stated that this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday evenings at 6 p.m., all times are going to give are Eastern times. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad. And right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. And then on Thursday, Relationship with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, yes, right. It is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Eastern time on Friday. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's not me. It is Sister POC and her program, Revive, once again at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. is the Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. If you know that WeBuyBlack.com is in the is having a serious effort to try to establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, seeking donations from all the people who go to their website of We Buy Black. And hopefully that you'll be one of them and contribute whatever you can, whatever amount. Would love to see We Buy Black and Us Lifting Us come together. That would be great, so we can talk about how we can make this happen jointly. We need joint efforts. We need, you know, really, I'm going to tell you, I know there's a lot of organizations. And well, I'll tell you what, I'll say something about that later, because let me get through these announcements, because, I mean, shucks. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, my good brother, Bomani Tayemba. And he's he's got five trips, I think. Well, four this year. Yes, four this year. Starting out in April. April 3rd through the 13th. Senegal and Gambia. Going to Senegal and Gambia. April 3rd through the 13th. That's $3,300. Then the Ghana Repatriation Investment Tour. May 25th to June 5th, $3,700. Then, South African Roots and Culture Tour, November 20th through the 30th, $3,700. Then, Ghana Repatriation Investment Tour again, December 24th through January 5th. It's also for $3,700. And the first thing next year, in 2021, is Senegal and Gambia, the Roots Tour, April 2nd through the 12th. And that's now for $3,500. Contact Brother Bomani Tayemba at AfricanForTheAfricans.org. You can call him at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Brother Renoko is going to, he has two trips planned. He just put up the next one he's going to. The first one this year will be October 15th through the 16th. Uganda and Rwanda, October 15th through the 16th, and that is for $4,200. $4,200. Man, these pictures are breathtaking, though. I tell you, you got it. I mean, to me, just go to the website. If you ain't going to go, just go to the website anyway. Actually, it's 41, it's 4,116, so $4,100. Okay? Then the next trip, going to Kemet. That's right. He's going to Kemet again. And October 22nd. He leaves for the other one, October 5th, come back to 16th. This is October 22nd through November 4th. Once again, breathtaking pictures of the Nile, the artwork, the pyramids, Hori Market, some of the temples, and Waset, or what they call Luxor, Queen Hatshepsut's temple. They're going to be visiting the Valley of the Kings and Queens. Of course, the Failing Temple and Nubian Museum in Nubian Village. As you sail down the Nile, you, of course, going to go to Abu Simbel. To me, not if you go to Kemet and now, I mean, you'll definitely see the pyramids, and because when you pull into Cairo, but to me, you got to go, you know, upriver, because it's really upriver. You're going south, but you're going upriver to Abu Simbel, and that trip is $4,230, and that is in the end of October, beginning of November. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. It is really beautiful. It's a great trip. You know, I went, really it was just a group of us, and we had a great time.
always want to thank Sister Savannah Williams for putting that together for us very inexpensively, I might add. Very. It was a trip. To me, if you wanted to go to Kemet at that time, to go at that price, couldn't beat it. Couldn't beat it. Habashah. Habashah. Brothers and sisters, Habashah. What does Habashah stand for? It stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habashah. The Habashah Works Program is training opportunities for urban gardening, you know, black seed, all kinds of stuff that Habashah is involved in. And, you know, their mission is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. They show some beautiful pictures of them in Ghana. The Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers for old folks like myself. But one project is the Keshi. Is the Keshi project. And the future is Keshi. And Keshi is the Kwaku Adoa Sustainability Institute. K-A-S-I. Kwaku Adoa Sustainability Institute is a name in honor of the world-renowned Ghanaian ethnobotanist, Dr. A. Kwaku Adoa. It is in its final construction to be completed this year, by October this year. They have pictures of it growing. It's going to be in Ghana in the Volta region near Togo, you know, because the Volta region is the eastern part of Ghana. Keshi will provide a sacred space for researching the ancient traditions of housing development, holistic healing, and agricultural techniques, and will serve as a hub for cultural exchange and reclamation. Boy, sometimes it gets hard for me to speak. Reclamation. The Habashah family is very excited to open these doors, inviting visitors from across the diaspora to convene dialogue and work together to elevate African innovation. To date, the project has raised more than $150,000. Our current goal of raising $18,000 will support the development of a solar-powered infrastructure for the project. Keshi rests in the Latoto Woto in the Volta region of Ghana near Togo border, where Habashah has developed a special relationship with the local community. And it has a result of many years of bringing youth to Africa through the Black to Our Roots program. In 2014, Habashah was presented with an opportunity like no other. The community issued a challenge to plant actual roots. In accepting the charge of the community, Habashah sees Keshi has the future for helping Africa, both at home and abroad. And I say, Ashe. It's beautiful. It is really beautiful. Habashah. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End, here in Atlanta. And Shrine of the Black Madonna opened Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, and then on Sunday from 1 to 3. And they have everything. They got furniture, clothing, you name it. They got the red, black, and green shoes and the guy's shoes. They got all kinds. And, of course, they have books. It's a bookstore. And if they don't have the book that you're looking for, believe me, they'll get it. And the number to call to the Shrine of the Black Madonna is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They also have an African Holocaust Museum in the shrine. They also have a history program, Know Thyself, an African history program every Saturday, free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. I ain't doing none this Saturday because I missed the last few because I was busy, you know, but Brother Baba Olatunji does an outstanding job of instructing. Also, too, the information is vital. So if you can't make that, but you like the information, you can contact the shrine about the multimedia library, which is now over 7 terabytes of African enlightenment at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore, located in the Greenbrier Mall. The number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. And they have books. If you don't have the book that you're looking for, believe me, they'll get it. Mama Nia, lovely sister Mama Nia. In fact, I'm going to talk with her real soon. We had a panel for ASCAC talking about study groups and so forth. We want to thank you for that. We appreciate that. And I'm going to talk about doing one of my programs at the Medu Bookstore real soon in the Greenbrier Mall. The number to call is 404-346-3263. Also to the Black Dot Bookstore, Kazemde Ajamu. Kazemde looked really good this past weekend. The Steppers set was held here in Atlanta. Big Steppers Ball. The Heritage Ball, if you go online, heritageball.com, I believe it is, and you'll check out the people here in Atlanta. And there's one coming up in Dallas. It's all over. It's just a group of brothers and sisters. I mean, the spirit is beautiful, you know. The spirit is really beautiful, and I appreciate Brother Kazemde Ajamu and the Black Steppers. The Steppers, yeah. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. The Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 for Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Also, too, our conference is coming up in a few weeks. March 13th through the 15th at the Interdenominational Theological Center on the campus of Morris Brown University, right off of MLK Drive in Atlanta. And that's the 13th through the 15th. I'll send out some details when I get some details. But you have it. You got the date. Go online and get the additional information. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sanjay Dash Aiti, Sister Gabby Arill and her organization, Sanjay Dash Aiti, are doing excellent work in Haiti in the northeastern portion of the rural area. And, of course, if you look at the rural area, you know it's always going to be kind of tough because a lot of times the urban areas get all the attention and funding and so forth, particularly in countries like Haiti and other countries that are not as well, you know, represented and financially able. That's just a reality. So check out Sister Gabby at Sanjay-Haiti, Sonje-Haiti. AYITI.org, Sanjay-Haiti, and lend support to a worthy cause. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Sister Yah, they had an outstanding program that they had at the over on Abernathy, and great program with Professor Griff and Brother Kalanji. And that was this past Saturday. In fact, I had a whole day. I started out at the Auburn Avenue Library where Let Us Make Man and the Black Men's Lab presented an American African History program. One of my dear friends, Brother Bill Taylor, his daughter, she lives here in Atlanta, Sister Kua Taylor, lovely, very talented. And she did an anthem and another song and some good presenters, and, of course, the drummers, you know, the Injury drummers, and Quilombo School. I'm going to give them a call, see if I can make a presentation at their school. Beautiful children, Quilombo. So then after that, Sister Jackie of ASCAC at her house in Conyers, a number of people. Beautiful.
This call is being recorded.
A number of people. Now was a great time. So it was a number, another history, Black History program. American, as I like to call it, African and American African history. I like to combine that. It's just that history, you know. And then attended that one with Baba Baruti, and then I finished off that night with right down the street from where he was, right near this restaurant called the Slutty Vegan, which always has a line of folks outside waiting to get in. It's number carry out, but it's just serious. It was at the yoga, comedic yoga, and Brother Renoco did a great presentation. My good, it's always good time. It's always good to spend some time with my friend, Brother Renoco Rashidi, good brother. And I know he's on his way to Memphis. And, of course, I announce his tours, and I'm going to go on one real soon. But Akabin Institute needs your support, so please support Baba Baruti and Sister Yah Baruti at Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786. So make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Also, too, if you want to use Cash App and PayPal, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Let me get to the Enye Sesim, and then once I finish the Enye Sesim, we're going to get right off into the discussion with my guest, Brother Boku Duryemi, in his outstanding children's book, A is for Africa and S is for Sovereignty. Ashe. Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, February 23rd. This is one of the paradoxes of human behavior, that the very things that shape us and make us behave the way we do, the way we see the world the way we see it, and relate to people the way we relate to them, are those things that occurred in our lives at points we cannot remember or recall. Dr. Amos Wilson. Imagine lying in filth, disease, spittle, vomit, pus, slime, unidentifiable excrements from bed sores, fleas, ringworms, and lice. Imagine worms, maggots, and bodily waste, maggots thriving in the bed sores on your back, arms, legs, and head. The whip welts and the wounds cut and kept open by the metal cuffs locked to your wrists, ankles, and sometimes necks. Imagine never-ending scratching, tearing through skin wherever you can reach to get at the parasites and the disease infesting your body. Imagine sweat, tears, human and rat feces, blood, pieces of flesh, teeth, toenails, fingernails, hair, menstrual blood, aborted feces, broken water, dead babies, afterbirth, screaming, moaning, numbing pain, living bodies not moving for days. This is not fiction. It was the worst nightmare in humanity. It was raw, unrelenting horror. Only someone seeking to universalize and normalize European barbarities or make our Holocaust less tragic than what it actually was would paint a picture that allows us to rest easy with our past as a mercilessly dehumanized, enslaved people. Affirm. Remembrance has awakened me to what must be done. Affirm. Remembrance has awakened me to what must be done. Today, February 24th. No one can truly defend democracy while fostering dictatorship and tyranny throughout the world. No judiciary system can fight against crime if the system itself is an umbrella to crime-related activities. Brother Fu Ketu. A new handgun is produced every 20 seconds by the 922 gun manufacturers in this country. That comes to 3 handguns every minute, 180 handguns every hour, 4,320 every day, 30,240 every week, nearly 130,000 every month, and over 1.5 million every year. Still, this does not speak to 250 million plus legal handguns already in circulation, or the untold number of illegal ones brought through underground markets or through prize owned by veterans of Europe wars on the world. It does not speak to assault weapons, shotguns, rifles, grenade launchers, bazookas, attack helicopters, tanks, or handheld surface-to-surface or surface-to-air missiles. And last but not least, this legal handgun market in no way speaks to the thousands of individuals who know, or millions who can easily learn how to make a weapon themselves from the internet. Guns, whether produced in factories or in basements, are made by people using relatively simple technology like the kind illustrated in the Anarchist Cookbook. What one man can make, another can replicate. A mind focused on violence and destruction will surely find its way to that end. A people whose seed, their cultural seed, their cultural personality, directed to live, to conquer and rule by armed force, will become better and better at it as they practice against all others. Affirm, I clearly recognize the violent nature of Europeans, but not passively. Affirm, I clearly recognize the violent nature of Europeans, but not passively. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Brothers and sisters, I am once again always humbled by all the activities that I participated in this weekend, stuff that I had a chance to see and hear, things that are positive. I know that sometimes it doesn't look good. But, and I know sometimes the things that I say surely doesn't sound upbeat, but believe me, I am a positive person. I have a vision for African people. I believe that a vision for African people is not mine. It is based upon the scholarly research of our scholars and historians, our ancestors, our elders, our people who work. I share that vision because, like I said, I don't give you my opinion on this program. I do not give you my opinion on this program. I give you information based on that research of those brothers and sisters, those men and women who many toil without any money, made tremendous sacrifices. I give you that perspective because my opinion is seriously profane. And I try my best not to use profanity on the program. But sometimes, you know, you just can't help it. Sometimes a word here or there just helps you make the point. You know what I'm saying? Helps you make the point. So, and I had a lot of good words this weekend. A lot of beautiful people. So, we have a brother right here on the phone with us. Brother Boku, how are you? You there with me?
Hello. I am here, Baba O.C. It is good to be here with you. Thank you very much. Am I coming in clear?
You're coming in loud and clear, my brother. You're sounding great. Good to hear your voice again. Yes. So have you been well?
I have been well, Baba. The, you know, there's been a slight sickness going around, and yeah. my family got it, and we've been able to heal ourselves and get back to the business of doing the, you know, fighting, healing, and building work that we do.
Yeah.
And it's a pleasure doing so.
Yeah, I know. And it's, I tell you, it's not easy, but it has to be done. And to me, whatever you can fit in, if you're sincere about reclaiming, recapturing, restoring African people, wherever you can fit in, please get in. Because, you know, we need all the hands on deck. You know, we need to be reassured that, hey, as bad as it is, there's still tomorrow, and we want to do tomorrow's work today, and that's why it's necessary. That's why I appreciate what you do. I love the book.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I mean, this book has been a long time coming. It took about 4 years to create the book. It came as a result of not only hard work from me and my family, but also, you know, work of ancestors and elders that came before me. You know, we had to get approvals to put this thing out. We didn't just throw a book together and decide that this is what the community needed. You know, we studied and we listened and we took, you know, the advice of some folks who know what they're talking about and have done this before, along with, you know, growing up.
I'm sorry, I missed you that time. Something happened. Say that again.
Not a problem. Not a problem. In the creation of this work, we had the permission of some elders and some, and of course, you know, the permission of some ancestors based on the works that they had done to put this work together. It wasn't just something simply that I put together for myself, you know, or just for my family. We put this work together for a bunch of families who might want to learn the things that our ancestors learned, our elders taught about our culture, about our ideas and our behaviors, you know, as a people. And so we put this work together and we got some approvals to put this work together, and it turned out very nicely. It turned out very nicely. We got some co-signs on this work as well. I heard you talking about Bob Baruti earlier, and he's one of the people that actually co-signed this work. On the back of the book, you can read and say, this is one of those books which will make frontline parenting so much easier. Mm-hmm. It says, congratulations on a fine job in honor of our warrior ancestors. I definitely believe that they would approve of BB for Hodier.
Ashe. BB for Hodier. Yeah, you got a lot of good ones. Well, of course, Marimba Ani. She wrote the foreword, and she does have it on the back again. This book is wonderful. Brother Boku Dudiyemi has done what I have always wanted to do. He has created a primer of African consciousness. And it is. That's what it is. Because when you go through this from A to Z, everything, every letter leads you to that direction, leads you to think independently, leads you to think self-determination, leads you to think sovereignty, you know. And that's the direction. I mean, sometimes I always say, well, what is our end, or what should be our end game? You know, after all this madness, what should be the final conclusion for us as African people? Well, it's shown in hell ain't integration, because really, that's never happened to begin with. You know, what you had was a forced assimilation, because integration is you have some talents, I have some talents, and we combine them, we integrate them, and then we move on to a better society based upon what you have and I have. That would, you can't integrate with Caucasians. You know, you can only hope to just sustain yourself, and hopefully they don't get mad and kill your ass like they often do. Like they often do, man. Yeah, so
we currently have the ability to, you know, to protect ourselves and advance our people. And one of the things we wanted to get through with this book was the critical nature of African sovereignty and eventually an African world order. Mm-hmm. It is something that, you know, when you think of sovereignty, I like to tell people to think of it as like if the ma'afa is an open wound, then sovereignty is like, you know, the stitches that close the wound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we still have to continue to heal.
Right.
But sovereignty is going to reduce the likelihood that, you know, it's going to become infected. You know, it makes sure that we're going to, that we have the best chance for full recovery to be as good or as better than we have been historically.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it helps us protect ourselves against that illusion of inclusion into this society. It's just something they put out there. And as we're deluded to believe so, we begin to work in the interest of other people who are not African people.
Right.
And so that's one of the things this book is meant to solve. It's meant to solve that problem right there. Because so often, you know, they come at our children. They come at especially the children they believe are gifted, because all our children are gifted. They believe that they can come at the children we believe are gifted, and they celebrate them and they pursue them and they try to encourage them and inoculate them into this Eurocentric education.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those children myself growing up in Rochester, New York. They introduced me to something called the MAP program, or the Major achievement program where they try to, you know, bring the children, the black children they think are gifted, mm-hmm. and move them into an alternative educational experience that they're going to say is an enhanced educational experience. And really what it does is move you further and further away from your family and further away from your community and further away from our community. I mean, you get educated, but it's a different type of education.
Right.
It doesn't include learning African languages. It doesn't include talking about our victories in Haiti. It mm-hmm. doesn't include, you know, it doesn't even include learning that you are African, let alone being stopped, being looking for sovereign African nationhood.
Right, because
and that is the point.
Right, because I mean, you know, even for me growing up, of course, which is a long time ago, but this past weekend I attended many history programs of our people at various locations, mm-hmm. and then one of them I talked about the fact that when I was coming up, you only learned about basically two people. You learned about, this is the 50s, you learned about mm-hmm. George Washington Carver and Booker T. Washington. And their mm-hmm. efforts. You didn't learn about even Nat Turner. They didn't want to teach you about nobody who was resistant. You didn't learn about Harriet Tubman. You didn't learn about nobody. If anybody was resisting or anybody, you'd show in the hell wasn't going to learn about Nat Turner. Somebody who openly killed wife. Oh, hell no. We ain't going to teach you about that. You know, we want, in fact, what we're trying to do, and they're trying to do it today. Last week, I watch CBS News in the morning. I was watching ABC, but they just got too much fluff, too much steals and deals and advertising for Disney. So I changed to CBS. Gail King, yuck. But it's the news. And so, you know, so but they were doing a feature on the history since this is our month. But they talked mm-hmm. about last week. In fact, it was two programs, 2 days, you know, what's happening with, you know, black history and how they're widening it down. They had a brother who, Dr. Kendi, and he's trying to say you can get over racism. some of these cats, I tell you, he's mm-hmm. firmly believes that somehow, you know, we can, you know, wear Caucasians down, you know, and because we, hopefully they have some kind of moral center, you know, we can appeal to them that they will look at us and look at our suffering and what they have done and, of course, treat us accordingly. But we know that's never the case and never will be. But what they were pointing out was that in the history, they're trying to redirect that. They're trying almost like saying that we came here. We came, not that we were stolen. We were kidnapped. Mm-hmm. That we came here looking as indentured servants, looking for work. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, and if you don't watch it, well, I look at it this way, though, brother. They're going to do what they're going to do. And we must do what we must do. I don't agree with arguing and trying to challenge Caucasians because that is who they are. That is their mm-hmm. mindset. You know, who they are.
Me personally, Baba, I have been less and less interested in challenging their stories and more interested in controlling our story as we tell it to our people. The story that we have.
Hello? Hello?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. Okay.
All right.
You got to repeat that because I think you got cut off and you was last thing I heard you say, you're more interested in telling our story, and I agree with you.
That's right. I'm interested in telling our story to our people in a way that serves the people. We can give our stories to our people, and we don't have to worry about the stories that they tell. When they're confronted with those stories, they're already equipped with something that counters it. And that's one of the things that I think an African-centered education is about. It's about putting our stories that benefit us and serve us out into our community. And that's what one of the things I try to do with this book. The book itself, as you go through each level, becomes a prompt to the parent or other person who's reading the book to to tell their story, a story that supports the values we have in the books, our traditional values that support these.
And see, what I love about the book, I'm going to tell you, Brother Boku, you're consistently breaking up. You want to hang up and call back? Maybe that might be better or different. I'm not sure because you're breaking up a lot. So if you can hear me clearly and if you would do that, okay, go ahead and do that and then come back and then let's hopefully that would clear up the problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, dear brother.
All right.
So he's going to be right back. He's going to hang up and call back. And I hope that, because, I mean, this is a very insightful brother, beautiful brother, his wife and his two children, you know. And he's one of the first people I've met since I, you know, when I got here. And I'll tell you. Here's the foreword in the book that Sister Marimba Ani wrote. This book is wonderful. Boku Dudeyemi has done what I've always wanted to do. He has created a primer of African consciousness. A is for Africa, S is for sovereignty. Has an introduction to Odunosa, the African worldview. It is serious, yet playful. As African parents and grandparents read this text to their children, they, along with their children, become immersed in a discussion and explanation of African deep thought. It is compelling and inviting as the readers and the listeners move through the alphabet of African concepts. The book is African child-centered. It is easily understandable, yet intellectually challenging, encouraging spiritual and ideological growth. A is for Africa, S is for sovereignty, can be a catalyst for the development of Sumenpa, good character. Sumenpa. It offers lessons that enumerate and affirm African cultural values and codes of conduct and behavior.
Hey, Baba. I'm back, and hopefully I'm more clear this time.
Boy, you're sounding really good. Let's hope that maintains. I'm reading
excellent.
I'm reading the foreword by Mama Marimba, and I tell you, it's beautiful. I'm gonna continue to read the foreword, and then we'll pick up, okay?
Excellent.
So I'm going to start all over because this book is tremendous. This, I'm saying it's tremendous, and Sister Ani said, this book is wonderful. And she's right. Brother Boku Dudeyemi has done what I've always wanted to do. He has created a primer of African consciousness. A is for Africa. S is for sovereignty. Is an introduction to Odunosa, the African worldview. It is serious, yet playful. As African parents and grandparents read the text to their children, they, along with their children, become immersed in a discussion and explanation of African deep thought. It is compelling and inviting as the readers and listeners move through an alphabet of African concepts. The book is African child-centered. It is easily understandable, yet intellectually challenging, encouraging spiritual and ideological growth. A is for Africa, S is for sovereignty, can be a catalyst for the development of Sumenpa, good character. It offers lessons that enumerate and affirm African cultural values and codes of conduct and behavior. It is filled with information concerning African life, our story, and civilization. Brother Dudeyemi has created a carefully prepared, clearly stated, beautifully presented, well-written, well-researched book for African families to experience together. As young children participate in this experience, their vocabulary expands, they learn to read, and the seeds of an African sovereignty consciousness are planted. Brother Boku is a gifted writer who has used his talents to touch the spirit of our young African children. The book is filled with such gems and brilliant images as Grandpa wraps me in stories and as I munch on my music and make meals of the sun. Nana Bofo, Baba Asa Hilliard, advised us to focus on the mass socialization of our children. Boku Dudeyemi has produced a formidable weapon, a tool for the first stage of African warrior training. This book must serve as a model for others. We need an arsenal of primers such as this, which together will constitute the front line of our project to build an African sovereign world order. Ashe.
And it is.
Ashe. This, like I said, this book. Now, understand something. I believe that this book should be in the hands of every kindergarten, first, second, and third grade class. This book should be read and encourage children to read this book and help explain this book, because that's what it is. It gives you a cultural understanding of who we are. You know what I'm saying? It helps us understand our position. It talks about things that are happening in the African world, in our lives as African people, you know? So I tell you, man, I think I bought three of them from you. I might even buy some more, because I'm holding on to this one for right now. But if somebody comes by here and they look at it and they got a kid, you take it, you know? Because to
me, I appreciate that, Bob. I appreciate that. I mean, we put out these works because we're trying to solve the problems of our people. And one of those main problems that I've seen lately is the problem of identity. It's the problem of a clear identity versus a confused identity that's based on, that is stimulated by universal humanism. See, it's like this book is meant to heal that confused identity and to create a more clear identity. And that's one of the main purposes of it. Today, identity to a large extent comes from our parents. It comes from the people who love us. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to walk like my dad. I wanted to be like my dad. My daughter wants to do what my family to Washington do. And, you know, so when a child gets an opportunity to connect with our people while reading this book, and when a child gets an opportunity to connect with our stories that are said by their parents that are prompted by this book, then a child gets to positively associate with Africa. They get to positively associate with African people.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably, they begin to serve those people. See, this book encourages a more active use of the family and a more active use in culture in the education of a child, because that's what causes higher academic achievement, this engaging in our family and our community and our culture. And when we develop a clear identity, then the kid can direct that high educational achievement in service of our people, Baba.
That's right. That's right. He understands and she understands. It's not about her. It's about us.
That's
you
right.
know, it's about us. And why you're going to school is to better prepare to help us, to help each other. You ain't going to school so you can, you know, go beg for Caucasians for a job.
That's right.
You know, you ain't going to school so you can live on this side of town or that side of town or drive that kind of car or be like, I'm the first one of us to work in this plant or this office, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, so it is a beautiful book.
Every group of people educates. Yeah, mm-hmm. Every group of people educates mm-hmm. their own in service of their people.
Yeah,
and I'm challenging our folks to do the same.
Ashe.
Because that's what's going to take us home.
Ashe. You know? Well, we have a caller 447-447. Good morning.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening.
Brother Paul, how are you, man? It's good to hear your voice. This is Brother Paul from across the pond, as we like to say.
Oh.
You're on the line, Brother Paul, with Brother Boku Dudu-Yemi, who's wrote an outstanding book that you need to get in the UK for children. It's A is for Africa, S is for Sovereignty.
Absolutely, Brother Ochi. Let me just ask you to humbly and respectfully ask you for a favor. Sure. That you text the detail. Well, you send the details to me, yeah?
Yes.
Because right now, I'm not fortunate enough to be able to listen to the program.
Okay.
Because I'm on the road. But,
okay.
But I out of courtesy and much respect to
okay.
you, I thought, let me just phone in to remind you that we're here and I'm spreading the message, you know?
Oh, man, Brother Paul. Well, this is what you do, Paul. When you get a chance, send me that information to me. I'm going to get the book. I'm going to send it to you, okay? I'm going to send you some copies of the book so you can spread it around. Get it in those children's hands in the UK, to that African community in the UK, okay?
Well, you know, Brother Ochi, that's all what I'm about, man. I'm just.
I know
about,
you are.
you know, I'm about. I made it. You know, I've been about this all my life. But sometimes you fall into things You just fall into things. The ancestors want you to be do things, you know, whether you choose to or not. And I think my role is to just unite us on the planet. And that's what I'm aiming to do. I'm aiming to reach out to any one of us on the planet. And because we got the technology to do that. So if we don't do that, then it's only in our hands. If we don't stretch out and reach out, you know, I'm phoning from somewhere in East London and okay. I'm making this communication. It's as simple as that. So if we don't do it, we only have ourselves to blame. So, you know, you're doing the great work. You have the great guests on there. And, you know, let me thank you as well for reaching out to us. You know, thank you for that.
Always, so, brother.
Yeah,
always.
I appreciate we're in the community in London. I have the book in London, actually. It's at the name of the bookstore is escaping me. And we do have the book on deck in London for people to get. And I'm hoping that you spread the word.
Well, you know what, right? Our main book for African-centered books, our main person, I'm very familiar with him. So through Brother Ochi, you know, I appreciate the book is in London, but the main purpose who I know. In actual fact, let me tell you a little story very quickly. When I was in America, I went to see a friend in Manhattan, and I saw a young man was selling some books on the road. I was in Manhattan, by the way. Let me just repeat that. And we got in a conversation, and it just turns out that he knew. We call him Brother Pepperkai. You might be familiar with him, he, you know. But this man on the street absolutely knew him. He said when he comes to America, he actually comes to their book warehouse. So for years and years and years, the main titles which we have from America came through Brother Pepperkai. He's the big book man. So. You know, when Elder Baba Oshi sends me the details, I'll make sure Pepperkai has that information because he's the main man for that.
Okay, well, I'm going to send you the book, Brother Paul, as soon as I get that information. You'll be watching for it, and you get back on the line and with us when you get it. And, man, I really appreciate you, Brother Paul. You've been sending me some good information. You've been sending me some good information on WhatsApp and, you know. And,
the feeling's mutual, Ochi, and I just want to put it out there like this, yeah? Look, communication's a two-way thing, yeah? We got some conscious people in our community, not just in your country, in this country, I know it's the same, that they call themselves conscious, and they act like they're conscious, but in truth, are they really conscious? Communication. We need to be communicating with each other. It's simple, but sometimes people think they're better than other people. They think they're bigger than other people. And so on and so forth. I don't need to go into the details, but you know what I mean.
I know.
So
I got
you, Brother Ochi, yeah. Let me just put it out there. You have that ability to communicate. You don't think you're bigger than anything. You're real. You're a real African. You know what's going on. Yeah. So that's a lesson for anybody listening. No one's bigger than nobody.
No,
we got a lot of work to do. We got a real job to do, and we got to step up to the mark. So,
that's right.
But. Brother Ochi, if I'd be grateful if you could put me on hold for a while.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Also, too, Paul, Renoco's coming your way. He's coming to the UK. I'll get some details from him. I was with him this weekend. He was here in the Atlanta area doing a presentation, and we kicked it for a minute, and I told him, you know, he knows. He doesn't know you per se, but I'm quite sure he's going to know you when he...
No. But he don't remember. He knows me. When he sees me, he knows me.
There you go.
He knows me. But the bottom line is he meets so many people, yeah?
Right.
But what it is, yeah, I mean, I've actually got a picture with him because he signed my book, the last book he wrote.
Sure.
He actually signed my book, and every time he's here, I always try to make the effort. I don't always get to
sure.
it, but... Even if you could give him the book, because I actually he usually comes to Brixton. I make the effort to go and see him. You know?
Right.
So
okay.
You know,
he's got a lot of good stuff.
He's
got a lot of good stuff. He's got some new stuff, new pictures and so forth. Got a new book out, calendar and so forth. So he's coming at you, Brother Paul, armed and extremely informative. So, okay.
No, that he's a great man.
He
does a magnificent work. I mean,
yes, he does.
He travels everywhere. He's magnificent.
Yep. So I'm going to put you on hold. You continue to listen, Paul. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
That's Brother Paul from the UK. I'm going to get him that book. You said you got your book in the UK, but you don't remember what bookstore it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, the name of the bookstore is escaping me. And, you know, I want to talk about something that Brother Paul brought up. He talked about an issue with communication. And I try to, whenever I get an opportunity, talk to people about how, you know, I don't want them to associate poor communication with an individual's character, so to speak, as much as I want to talk about it as a wound of oppression that we have to heal.
That's right.
Because it's this injected oppression that some of which has come down our family line, some of which has come from just living in this society, and it's affected how we communicate with each other. It's affected how we think about ourselves and other people. And it's affected how we treat other people. Mm-hmm. So as we, you know, write books, as we do radio programs, as we build businesses, we have to account for that. And we have to do our healing work, which will allow us to build the trust in ourselves and our trust in other people. That's going to support us getting the things that we talk about in this book, that sovereignty that we have, mm-hmm. because it's going to allow us to have that coordinated activity that we need to have to do those types of things. It's going to help us with the organizations that we build as we try to work together to get those types of things done. Yeah. So he brings up a good point, and it's some of the stuff we try to address in this mm-hmm. book and in other work that we do.
You know, at this stage, I know that a lot of our people, unfortunately, have bought into what Caucasians have imposed upon us and think that nothing else can be done. And we just, some of us just wait for divine intervention. But believe me, it is right there. Only thing that we have to do is change our minds. You know, it's the mind. And what your book does and what we are trying to do is do that. Because if we don't, and if we don't begin to see the importance of us coming together as one, you know, we are under attack. We're in a mm-hmm. war. We have been warred upon. And yet we go about our daily lives, there ain't nothing happening. And we somehow think and believe that nothing will happen to us. Anytime you put your life in the hands of an insane, suicidal, sadistic entity, Europeans, anything can happen at any moment. But mm-hmm. if you break away from that and you establish yourself and you do things for yourself, when you shape your world in your image and in your interest, things change for you, for your betterment, and to hell mm-hmm. with them. You know, I tell you, it's because when you look at the world today, when you look at the continent, there is no way in hell. There's a serious threat that is about to happen on the continent. That is 100 million Chinese are going to move onto the continent of Africa and establish mm-hmm. themselves on the continent of Africa. And we are going to let it happen because we have been so fragmented, so divided, so manipulated, so undermined. Our minds are so damn it messed up that the threat is not just for African brothers and sisters. The threat is for African people on the continent and globally. And we need to mobilize as a people there to squash that. We need to kick all them sons of bitches out, the Caucasians, the Chinese, the Arabs, the Indians, the Arabs up in North Africa. State to them, are you African? You going to be African? Well, if you're going to be African, you can't treat our people like this. You can't neuter our men. You can't sell us into slavery. You can't treat us this way. If you're going to mm-hmm. be African, if you're not, you got to get off. You got to go back to where the hell you came from. This is ours. See, I'm getting emotional because this is serious for us. This is very serious. It's a very serious time.
It is a very serious time. And that's why, Baba, healing is extremely necessary. And one of the best ways of healing, some people don't think about it this way, one of the best ways of healing is fighting. Fighting is healing. Fighting the people, fighting the policies, fighting the practices that are oppressing our folks.
Yes.
That alone is a healing activity.
Yes. Yes. And we need
it. And it gives you space. It gives you, it gets rid of some of that apathy that causes mm-hmm. you not to move, mm-hmm. you know, when you otherwise would, when your ancestors did. It's just fighting. You start with small fights. You start with anything that you can handle, and you build your way up as preparation for the larger fights to come.
And we need that because we're in a battle, we're in a war, and this is not a sprint. This is a marathon, and so we have to be in shape physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in shape to fight this war. But see, and let me just say this too, brother, is that we don't need all of us. We need those who are most dedicated, those who are most committed, those who understand. But my hope is that those who don't, shut the hell up, don't say nothing, don't be a snitch. And if you can afford to contribute monetarily or whatever way, do that. But otherwise, if you want to keep your ass here, you stay here for whatever reason. But to me, it's time for us to go home. It's time for African people to open up Africa. Let African people with the wherewithal come and let's build Africa together. Not in the way that would we went to Liberia with an attitude because some of us are lighter skinned because we've been in America and has some of the rapist blood in us that somehow we're better than them. Or because we speak this kind of English, we're better than them. And then, of course, you know what happened to those dynamics. They fought back and forth in Liberia, even to this day. It's crazy. Let's end this insanity. Let's end it. And let us come together. For those brothers and sisters who are in the Caribbean, in Central and South America, if you want to go home, let's go home. Just like the European Jew who stole Palestine from the Palestinians and called it Israel, and said to them, anybody who wants to come here, if you classify yourself as a European Jew, you can come home. Because even the brothers and sisters who are Jews and gone home, or that airlift they had about 30-some years ago of the Ethiopians, you see how they treat them. Mm-hmm. They treat them very bad. Let me take a break. Stay right with us. I appreciate this opportunity, my dear brother. I really do. To have some more dialogue. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're talking with the author of A is for Africa, S is for Sovereignty, a most outstanding children's book, Brother Dudu Yemi. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie. On Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Rocking music, music. Music on my mind.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blackTalkRadioNetwork.com. That was the Blackbirds, Donald Byrds, and Blackbirds. Good time. I need some happy music. Other programming that we have here on the Time for an Awakening Media, after this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., is Acres of Diamonds on Friday evening, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9, and then Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10, and then on Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're going to resume our conversation with Brother Boko Duduyemi and his excellent children's book. But really, just as Mama Remba said, it's a primer for us as a people. You know, we need to, adults and children need to look at this book and understand where it's coming from. What do you say?
That's right. More is caught than taught. That is the primary example of it. When the children are listening to their parent or some other adult read the book, they get some information, they get taught some stuff. And when the parent follows the behaviors that they were requested to follow in the book, when they not only mention but also follow through in the actions that show the values in the book, then they get to inspire the youth in doing the same.
That's right.
And that's the point of it.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Let me mention this. We get back to the conversation. Sister Mama Catherine Johnson from the Hidden Colors movie, the mathematician who was at NASA, who has a building named after her. Sister Catherine Johnson has passed at 101 years old. May God be pleased with her work. Tremendous at 101. And she lived to see all of her flowers come to her while she was living. That's a great thing, and I know she's pleased with her work. But let us get back to this discussion, because as one who is a sovereigntist, as one who is a Pan-Africanist, a cultural nationalist, is who espouses these things, who believe with all my heart, body, and mind and soul that this must come to fruition, because I believe, brother, either we unify, it's either, as Dr. Clark said, Pan-Africanism or perish. And I use the other line, unify or die. So given that reality, what will help that, what will make that happen is communications, is the education. And this is a tool that can be used, particularly for our young people, because our young people are so misguided. You know, our young people, across this country and even on the continent, you know, there's not a lot of direction. And, of course, they act in such an adverse way because we have been bombarded with the European concept of individualism. And, you know, I always say that Europeans, they impose four things: individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. They're the most violent-prone people on the planet. I just read to you from the Inye Sesim talking about the number of guns that are made each day, and there's a gun for every man, woman, or child three times over in the society. And there's over 3 million people in the society. So you can see, you know, and there ain't a damn thing anybody can do that'll make these Caucasians give up their so-called Second Amendment rights to own a gun. So they could kill somebody. But so that being the reality, brother, you know, we need to have this in our homes, or we need to have this and discuss this consistently and constantly, because we need to work on our hearts and our minds to change our direction.
That's right. That being the reality, we need to have a team. We need to have a team with a clear identity.
Mm.
That being the reality, we're all going to have to. None of us all have the answer.
That's right.
So we're going to have to trust each other to do the best work we can for ourselves and for our people. I'll tell you a story. I was in Pittsburgh with my wife. She's the director of Cibola Bully Education Institute. And we went out there to work with a group who wanted us to help them build an African-centered after-school program, or to reinstate it, rather. It's an old program, and they wanted to revamp it. It's called Children's Window to Africa. So we went out there to train the counselors, and we were guiding them in the implementation of this after-centered after-school program for their youth. And toward the end of the presentation or the guidance session, there was a principal sitting in the crowd. And the principal began to share with us how she loved what she heard and how she'd like to implement these teachings in her school. And then she paused for a second. She said, "I don't even know if I can call it my school." Because one of the things that has happened is that the principals, even if they're still engaged in the community, they're no longer the decision makers. They no longer make the program or the curriculum at the school. They're sometimes referred to as building administrators instead of principals. So we can't just send our kids to a public school. We can't just send our kids to a private school and expect them to be educated in a way that guarantees that they are become skilled at serving our people. And what we then have to do is become the people who create those after-school programs, those Saturday programs, those after-school programs that are going to provide that education,
mm-hmm.
that creates that clear identity, that provides the education, that builds the trust, that has us communicating with each other
mm-hmm.
in ways that serves our building of families, our building of communities, our building of institutions. And that's what we're trying to do with some of this book. See, we don't have that authority inside the system anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We can't rely on changing the system to get the changes we want. It's an external thing.
And see, that's what we got to do. You know, as you're saying that, I'm reminded of, we had a little panel discussion or presentation, ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization,
mm-hmm.
to some brothers and sisters at the Meddu bookstore. And, you know, one of the things that I mentioned that I've asked ASCAC at its regional, more importantly, at its national conventions for many years. I've been involved in ASCAC for almost 20 years. And I said that ASCAC is our scholars, our historians. ASCAC should be responsible for developing a program, a curriculum that is independent and self-determining and educating our people, as just like when you just mentioned the Saturday schools and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
European Jews may send their kids to a public school or a private school or whatever, but they say to the public school, the private school, "We're not going to be here at this school on this day because this is Yom Kippur, or this is Hanukkah, or this is whatever." Also, they say, "We're not sending the kid to school this day because we have this particular program," because they understand that the responsibility for teaching that child about what it means to be a European Jew is theirs. It's not the public school system or the private school
system.
That's right. It is theirs. And so at the synagogue or at some center, whatever, they're going to get that instruction. I say we need to open up these centers and even some of these damn churches to an educational program that is about us. So mm-hmm. you can infuse the child with knowledge of self. So when that child does go to the public school or to a private school, you know, a charter or choice or whatever, he or she has been rooted and grounded in knowledge of who and what she is. And she's there and he's there to get everything the school has to offer in math, science, other subjects. But the history of us as a people, that's our responsibility. And so the child also, if there's a subject that they throw at them and they know it's not right, they don't argue with the instructor. Is this what you want? Yeah, here, you got it. But you know who you are. You know the history. You know the direction that we need to go in. We need to do that. And I've been asking them, I said, you know, we're the brains, supposedly, you know, all these scholars, to put something together, develop a group of teachers and instructors in some of these major cities and finding the place. And so it's just like, brother, yesterday was Sunday. In the Baptist church, they have Sunday school. There's a Sunday school lesson in the Baptist church that is taught in Atlanta, and the same lesson will be taught in Chicago, Milwaukee, Los Angeles, New York. And that's what it should be on that Saturday in the ASCAC or the African Holistic Educational Program that we should establish, that this is what's going to be taught on this day across this country. And then this, the next day or the next weekend, whatever. We need to develop something like that now.
We have a number of people, that I trust, a number of people who are very intelligent and very committed to our causes, who believe similarly that, you know, perhaps there's a one size fits all. I'm not sure if there is a one size fits all. I do welcome what you're saying in terms of ASCAC creating a curriculum or a class or something that people can have access to, and as broadly as they reach, it would be a significant accomplishment toward educating our people or re-educating our people, given the miseducation that they have had and given the necessity of having our history told right in our way. That's absolutely incredibly, incredibly important. And I know that we have so many different areas of people who teach something slightly differently. Because since we don't have all the answers, I want them to continue to teach those things in the way that they do. Because if one thing doesn't fail, because if one thing fails because the one fits all strategy doesn't work, then they have an alternative to go to that may not fail, that it guarantees the survival of our educational systems, that guarantees the survival of our people as we get this information. I mean, one of the things my wife did is we were at an African center school when our daughter was in kindergarten. And one of the things that happened to us is, even though it's an African center program, my daughter started getting ideas and exhibiting behaviors that were in line with what we wanted her to have.
I see. Okay.
So in order to try to replace those ideas and correct some of those behaviors and to keep being ignored and unsupported and belittled and keep her from being minimized, we began educating her ourselves. So my wife created Kibola Ebola Education Institute, and that led to her creating classes and a curriculum. And then when our son was born a few years later, you know, and we began looking for some type of resource that would make that easier. It would make it easier to give him the same ideas and values that we gave our daughter. And then when we couldn't find it, we created it. It became A is for Africa, S is for sovereignty. It started out as a family project, and about halfway through, we realized that other parents may want to have these same ideas and behaviors developed in their children. And so we decided to make the resource available to the people, not just for the children, but to the grown-ups as well, like we've been discussing. And that's what's been helpful for us. And we try to get that out to as many people who find it useful.
And see, so therefore, whether it's ASCAC or whether it's what you're doing, it needs to be supported. It needs to be amplified. It needs to be duplicated. We need it. We need it desperately. You know, it's important that we as African people infuse ourselves with the knowledge of ourselves and a root and ground us, so now we can behave and we can act in a way that would be respectful to one another, where we can work with one another, share with one another, build with one another. It has to come to this. I mean, once again, if you look at us and look at our condition on the continent throughout the diaspora, it does not look good. Everywhere we are, you know, Dr. Clark said it best. We have no friends. We have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. He wasn't saying don't leave the mirror till you like the shape of your eyebrows or the arch of, you know, the cleft in your damn chin. No, like who you see culturally. Like who you see historically. Love your black skin, your nose, your lips, and love the person that you see and those who look like you. Begin to love mm-hmm. each other and love ourselves. You know, so I've seen what you're doing, Brandon. You're one solid brother, man. Believe me.
I appreciate that, Bob. And one of the things we do is, you know, I don't talk about it all the time, often, but there's a tool set that we use. It was created by the Mazi Moyo. It's called the Warrior Healer Builder tool set. And it actually, when used in coordination with the book, it provides the types of results that you're talking about. It helps the people love themselves. It helps the people love other African folks and come out from under this socialization mm-hmm. that we have, that directs us to distrust each other, that directs us to not like the color of our skin, to say my hair is too short or too nappy. It all works in combination to get us to the types of results that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to do. We need more of it. You know, it needs to be duplicated. It needs to be something that we as African people begin to say, yes, that's what we want to do. And because we know we need it, and we'll continue to replicate it and continue to do it for those who want it. I believe there is a good number of us who want it. But there's a lot of us who...
I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, sometimes, Bob, some people have to see the results. I mean, you know, for me, the book, I had faith in that. I knew it would work. I had some experience. But I had a really big experience when my son, you know, one of my relatives got my son a Kindle. And on the Kindle, I didn't check it out the way I had checked some of these devices out in the past. And the Kindle had something on it because my son started getting some ideas and behaviors from watching this thing called Daniel Tiger on the Kindle, right? And okay. those behaviors and stuff weren't in line with what I wanted. And so what we did, even before the book was out, was we created a class based on the contents of the book before we even published it.
Wow.
And,
okay.
And the result countered that programming that he had been subject to. Mm-hmm. And that was actually the result. It's me watching it being countered that motivated me to really expedite the completion of this book.
Okay.
But sometimes people have to have the experience.
Right.
You know, they have to have the experience. I mean, I didn't have to have the experience, but I can see how they would have to have the experience. And mm-hmm. we're producing that book in some way so they can have that experience as they share their stories, as they read the contents of the book if they want, if they learn some of the tools that we have available, take some of the classes that we have available, and they can have that experience of watching their life changed, you know, how they think, how mm-hmm. they act. I mean, like Bob Amos talked about, the falsification of African consciousness is real, and when you find yourself coming out from under that, it is extremely empowering, and it motivates you to do more yeah. for yourself and more for our people.
Yeah. I mean, when I look at my life and some of the transformations in my life, I love where I am in terms of my understanding, my consciousness, my love for Africa, my love for Africans. You know, I wish I, you know, was more serious sooner, but it is what it is. You know,
That's
sometimes
right.
the time is, that is the time, you know. And so, but.
And it's never too late. Everything I learned as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
A grown person. I was in my 30s
yeah.
when I got introduced to any of this stuff. I mean, I had some ideas of my own. I could see some things happening. And when I saw, actually, I saw Mama Rumba speak in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and she was saying things in ways that I thought but could never put to words.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, you know, that was the beginning for me.
Right.
And then one step at a time, I began to meet good people. With mm-hmm. good ideas, and I was willing to support those folks and learn from them. And that's what we have to do, one step at a time, no matter when you start.
That's right, one step at a time, man. And, you know, and you should begin when it's right for you to feel that you can begin. If it's yesterday, do it. If it's today, Lord knows, do it. But if it's tomorrow,
that's right.
But if it's tomorrow, so be it. But as long as you do it. Because once you put your foot on that path to seeking that knowledge of self, you stay on it, you know.
That's
and,
right.
And so I'm forever on that path, always wanting to know more, always listening to other scholars and historians and researchers, you know. And my contribution to our struggle is this radio program,
That's right.
Is to put information out, you know, and I definitely don't know everything. In fact, I'm just a conduit to get the information from brothers and sisters like yourself to our mass of our people, whoever can listen, whoever wants to intune and pick up that information. But I'll say this, I'm going to be constant. I'm going to be consistent. On this program, you're going to hear what's important for us is independence. You're going to hear self-determination. You're going to hear, you know, liberation. You're going to hear sovereignty. Because as far as I'm concerned, there really is no other subject for us to be discussed. and not only that, Brother Boku, I don't want to argue with another brother or sister whether or not we should be that. That's ludicrous. That's crazy.
That's right.
You know,
when you put sovereignty as the context for the things you think and how you behave, it really changes the direction of your life.
Yeah.
It is an extremely motivating thing, you know, especially, you know, when you get the stories of us having fought and won in the past, you know, you get the stories of Haiti, you know, you get the stories before then of us, you know, having our own nations on the continent. When you understand what we're capable of, I want some of it.
Right.
You know, it's exhilarating.
Right.
I want some of that.
And see,
I want to see exactly how it felt.
Mm-hmm. And see, what I've been doing as far as history for the last, I don't know, 20 years maybe, I don't begin our history with our captivity, you know? I don't even talk about the captivity. I put glory on us when we were on the continent, independent of anybody. We didn't ask nobody for nothing. We didn't ask anybody for help, permission, nothing. We did it. And we didn't enslave anybody. So that notion that we had Hebrews as slaves is a lie, which has been proven to be such. All the theologians and scholars know it, but the lie persists. The story persists. In the next month or two, tomorrow's Fat Tuesday. So then Ash Wednesday begins the 40 days. So 40 days after Wednesday is Easter. So you're going to see the Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner. You might see the new Ten Commandments movie called The Exodus, with Christian Bale, and this Caucasian playing, or this Arab playing, Ramesses II. My point being is that it's been proven that the ancient Kemetic people were African. It's been proven that they built their societies not by servitude, but by the people themselves. All these positive things have been proven, but because Europeans suffer from cognitive dissonance, they believe they're superior, and ain't a damn thing that you can say, even though you got plenty of proof to prove otherwise, but it's who I say I am. And if I got the power to determine that, then so be it. And at this time, they do. And so when they bring something on TV, it's a lie, but it's presented as the truth. And if you're consistently beat down with that lie, then you begin to believe it, that it is true. That's the fallacy. That's the problem with that. That's why what you're doing is so necessary.
Thank you, Bob. We are trying to keep it going.
Yeah.
To get support from whomever we can to get this work out to as many people we can, whether we're talking to after-school programs, whether we're talking to Africans in the schools, or we're just selling on the street to a mom who ain't never called herself African. You know, I went to a restaurant the other day. A sister had purchased the book for me. That's because she had said, you know, that she wanted to support a brother. It was nothing deeper than that.
Yeah.
And she came back. It's a couple of months later. I came back and she rushed to me because she was working there. She was serving on us folks.
Okay.
She put down those plates and came over and said, "Brother, I read that book to my daughter."
Rashe.
She said, we ain't just reading it. We studied it.
Right on.
And she told me what letter she was on. And she said, "That book is powerful." She said, "I never read anything like that before in my life. Do you have any classes? Do you have anything else I can read or understand?" And I said, "Sister, we definitely do." And I started just telling her, this was her introduction to this community.
Ashe. Yeah. Beautiful, man. Beautiful. Like I said, this is a work that definitely needs to be disseminated. It needs to be in everyone's home, and particularly for those who want to establish the consciousness of their family and particularly their children. Particularly their children. See, you know, that's why they said it's easier to prepare, you know, children than to prepare broken adults. You know, because those adults, they've already been entrenched in the mindset that they have. You know, some of them, like I was in a conversation, and this lady told me, don't try to change my mind. don't try to give me the truth. I don't want to hear that. And then she said, then this was the real sad kicker. She said, the real way to change this racism and dynamic is to have more mixed race children.
I was like,
that's the end of the conversation, sister. If that's what you believe, is to have more mixed race children. That's the remedy.
That's how wounded our people are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's the necessity of healing. That's the necessity of building trust and building and using tools to communicate so we can hold on to some of these people and bring them along. Because everybody comes along in their own time.
Right. That's right.
On their own path in their own time. I mean, I have said some things in the past that I can't believe I said.
Yeah.
I know some folks in this community who have done the same.
Sure.
You know, I mean, some folks forget the path they rode as they attack and shame and blame other folks. And I try to, you know, gently remind them, hey, me and you were right there with those folks.
That's right.
Just not too long ago.
Exactly. So I don't condemn nobody. I understand my road too. I'm not in the, I don't condemn none of us. And in fact, I don't blame us. I don't blame us. I put the blame where it squarely belongs, on a system that was created by Europeans to give themselves a top position with everybody else, a lower position with, unfortunately, us at the lowest position. And that's why we are treated the way we're treated globally. So, no, I don't blame us. But the responsibility to get up out of it, that is ours.
Absolutely. When I first learned about injected oppression, Ajahn Chah Majum Moyo had a story here, and he talked about how, you know, if someone jumps up behind you and injects you with poison, it's not your fault that they injected you with poison. It's your responsibility to heal from it. Your responsibility to get out of you and heal from it. And that's what we try to get people to identify. Don't blame black folks, but we know where the blame squarely lies.
That's right. That's right.
And it's our job to fix it.
But I know, too, that you are trained to blame yourselves and each other.
That's right.
You're trained to put the focus on that. See, that's another thing why I have a good friend, and he does that. Sometimes he does, and I bring it to his attention, and he gets a little upset. But he does it. He blames us, you know.
That's right.
Because he's been trained. And I'm saying, no, brother, you know. And his thing is, well, you always blaming white. Yeah, you damn right I'm blaming white folks because they're the fault of it.
That's a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I blame them. They have done this. You know, they have created a world where in their world, everybody is a tool to be used in their world. They took us and they made us servants for hundreds of years, denied our humanity, erased our memory from being African, beat us down so bad that we hate being African. We hate Africa. Here we have a continent with all of the resources, but yet we deny it. We don't want to be that. We want to be close to these Caucasians. We want their system. We want to be a part of what they are and who they are. That's what they've done to us.
Mm-hmm. And we can come out of it.
That's what I
try to tell people.
Yes.
It's like one step at a time, become skilled at it. One step at a time, share those other people. You know.
I think the bad part, Brother Boku, is that, you know, I know I was talking about the situation and I was sounding kind of dire, and the sister says, "Well, you know, It's like, you know, 50 years that we're talking about Kwanzaa, you know, Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember in 2016, I did a Kwanzaa presentation on self-determination. And, of course, in 1966, Kwanzaa started. That's 50 years. And I said, mm-hmm. we're no more closer to being self-determining today than we were 50 years ago when Kwanzaa started. It's a shame, mm-hmm. you know. And so the sister was saying, well, 50 years, that's a short amount of time. But I look at it this way. We don't have the time. Time is moving real fast because of the situation. Years ago when you didn't have all the mass communication, when you could see somebody right now on your phone, you can literally see them on the other side of the planet. You know, mm-hmm. you can do a video chat or whatever. Time is of the essence. Time is now. We don't have time to waste. And because we're dealing with an entity, Europeans who are so demonic and so evil, that our time isn't guaranteed. You know, we're not, mm-hmm. you know, when you were talking about a people who have all the armament in the world and they ain't afraid to use it. That's why it's a damn shame and laughable that they want people to give up their armament, just like North Korea. North Korea looked at Libya and what happened to Muammar Gaddafi, looked at Iraq mm-hmm. and what happened to Saddam Hussein. Said, hell no, I ain't giving nothing up.
Hell no. That's right.
You know?
I mean, it's sometimes scary. You know, when you're trying to liberate your people, it can be scary to think about, you know, the what ifs and will it take too long. I heard Bob Rutte speak one time. He talked about it. Explaining our fight is like a 20-generational process.
Yeah.
And he was trying to tell people just keep the faith. Do your work. Take your baton when you get it and run with it and then hand it off to the next. Then have faith in it. I know it really helped my wife. It's one of the things that that she talks about. You know, it was helpful, and I was like, wow, for real? 20 generations? And, you know, so I bring that up sometimes just to remind myself, well, handing me the baton.
Yeah, it's my turn to run. Right, it's my turn to run. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And see, what we need is more people in this race, and that's happening. You know, it's always encouraging to me to see families like you, young brothers and sisters, you know, coming into this consciousness, coming into the reality of who and what we are and should be, and working towards that. You know, that's encouraging. Believe me, it is. I wish there were more, but whatever numbers that we have, let us just keep on keeping on. And don't be discouraged, you know, because it is very discouraging when you see what's happening in society, particularly to us, and whether it's happening on the continent or anywhere else. You know, it's sad how we are manipulated and undermined and you know, consistently. I mean, you name any social ill in society, it's more profound in us than anybody else, you know. You know, they mm-hmm. talk about organ harvesting, when they talk about mass incarceration, when they talk about a number of heinous things, it's deeply, unfortunately, reflected in us, you know.
That's right. There's so much stuff happening, Bob. Over here, we've kind of, we've taken up the what we've done is instead of just talking about the ills of the world, we talk about how we're fighting the ills in the world so we don't scare our children. You know, we want them to see the things that are happening, and we want them to believe that they have the power to make a difference and to change. So instead of just telling them just about the horrors, we've started talking to them about the ways that we fought in the past, the ways that we're fighting currently, the ways we're going to fight in the future. So they can get an idea that it's actually possible to survive. It's actually possible to thrive.
Yeah.
Even given all these horrors, because your people fought in Haiti. We lost 50% of the population and we won.
Right.
You know what I mean? We try mm-hmm. to share the stories in a way that doesn't have them thinking, overestimating the power of other folks and underestimating our own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. Because that's what we need to do. Give them that constant sense of hope. I know Marimba put this out some months ago. She says, to be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior. In order to understand the effect that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously, we must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts. So to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans, this is a demand by an African-centered worldview because we are African. And because the future that Europe wants to lead us in is genocide. Where the European wants us to go is genocide. So we need to have that vision. And what your book does is help give our children that vision, helps give our people that vision. You know, when they talk about, when they talk about in that biblical saying, you know, where there is no vision, the people perish, you know.
That's right. And
I'm of the understanding that when you lack any knowledge of yourself and when you adhere to the information that has been given to you by your so-called oppressor, by a mean, rotten, evil son of a, if you would adhere to that, only means your death. That's why, to me, you should train yourself to reject anything white folks bring you. You know, you should train yourself. If they say it's up, no, you say it's down. They say it's blue, no, you say it's red. You know, everything they say is no. And stay away from everything white flour, white sugar, white cream, white people. Stay away from everything white. But on the real, though, you know, we're about to. But I just want to thank you and for coming on again and to talk about your book and how important it
thank
is.
You.
And I will do all I can to promote it and get it out there. I'm going to send it to Brother Paul. I'm going to come by. I'll give you a call and put together some books. And I'm going to send it to Brother Paul in the UK. And I know it should be at ASCAC. ASCAC is going to be in April, early April, in Los Angeles. And I'm not sure. I have my grandson coming in town, so, and my ex, they're coming in town around that same time. So I'm trying to figure, because I wanted to go to ASCAC. I really did. And one of the things I wanted to bring is your book. You know,
I'd appreciate that.
You know, is your book, because to me it's cool that we have these study groups and we learn about great men and women in our history, brothers and sisters from long time even to the present, who have an ideology and a mindset that is liberating and self-determining. You know, but to me, at the base level of our, you know, of our upbringing for our children. And for young adults, and for us as even, you know, elders, we need this kind of information. You know, we need information that steers us into the direction of liberation and self-determination and sovereignty. You know, as I think I said it earlier, Brother Boku, what is our end game? What is it that we truly want? And if it's not self-determination, independence, liberation, and sovereignty, then what the hell is it?
That's right. know? That is it.
That's it. You know.
That is it. And I appreciate you, Bob. I appreciate your radio show and the support that you give and the message that you send to the people every single time I see you, whether at the Black Man Lab, whether you're on the radio, whether at an event. Yeah. And I just really wanted to say that.
Well, listen, come to the Black Man Lab tonight. Hakeem Abudi will be there, Third World Press. You know, I know.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I spoke to him once.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, did you? Right on. In Chicago? Right on, yeah. And he'll be there tonight, and hopefully we have a good crowd to welcome him and all the other people that write and do publishing at the Black Man Lab. It's going to be at the Young YMCA over on Campbellton Road. At quarter to seven. So hope to see you there. And brother, anytime you want to come on this program, just let me know. We can come on and chop it up. Okay?
Thank you very much.
You have a home here. Thank you, dear brother. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right. we've been talking with Brother Boku Dudiyemi in his excellent book, A is for Africa, S is for Sovereignty. Well, brothers and sisters, we've come to a close of another program, and we appreciate you listening, and appreciate last week the guest I had, Sister Baina Bello, in her book, The Sheroes of the Haitian Revolution. And then, of course, my good friend, Brother Muhammad Abdullah, discussing the Netflix documentary, Who Killed Malcolm X? And so been a good challenge for me these last few days, and I really appreciate it. So we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and sure as hell don't want to pay for. So, brothers and sisters, hope you have a blessed and wonderful day wherever you are. Hope that it will be productive for you. So, Shemhotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a wonderful day. See you. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Peace, family.